Good afternoon. We're beginning the session State of the U.S. Travel Goods Industry. The COVID-19 pandemic had a huge impact on consumer behaviors and priorities, and that has had a big effect on the U.S. travel market. Beth Goldstein, industry analyst at the NPD Group, will discuss how the pandemic-related consumer behaviors and priorities are impacting the U.S. travel goods sector. We'll look at categories, brands, channels, and items driving growth or confronting decline. Beth will review how the evolution of travel is affecting luggage and travel goods products. The travel market has been recovering, but what's in store for the next few years? She'll share the features that are most important to consumers, as well as insights around their luggage purchasing behavior, factors that are important to consider, because innovation will be the future key to growth. Beth will leverage NPD's latest retail and consumer data to provide cross-industry context, the research results, and she will include her outlook for 2023 and beyond to identify where opportunity may lie. Beth, if you please.
Thank you. I appreciate my fan section over there. Thank you for the intro, Michael. Hopefully that all sounded good. Thank you for coming. I know it's sort of a little bit of a far walk. All right, you know what? Can I do a handheld? Do you guys mind? I feel like I'm going to move. I'm not really a podium person because, as you can see, it's like, you know, I don't have the height for the podium, unless I get a step stool. Thank you. Okay, so we'll just transfer to this, and it's okay. That one. Okay. Down. All right, yes, yeah, so I know this is a little bit of a walk from the luggage area, the travel goods section, so I appreciate that you came all the way over here. The last time I was able to speak to this industry was, I guess, about a week before the pandemic, so we're talking March 2020 in New Orleans, and that was the first time I had gone to the travel show, and I presented there as well. And then obviously, you know, everybody was all excited. There was a lot of new innovation. Of course, there was concern starting to set in, and the show, people had backed out, both retailers, manufacturers, but I don't think anybody really understood what was in store. So that was that. And I haven't been traveling much. This is really only my second business engagement in person, because we're doing so much virtually now. And I'm definitely out of practice. I will share a little funny story from yesterday morning as I was traveling. This is something I had never done. 2019 to 2020, I think I had become a professional traveler. No issues. On the way to the airport yesterday, about 5 minutes before I got there, I realized I did not have my wallet. I had forgotten to put it into my travel bag, and I beating myself up, trying to figure out what happened, you know, what I was going to do. I had about an hour before my flight, and I live on the west side of Manhattan, so I was in my Uber. So quickly we turned it around. I called my husband, who was like just getting up, and he basically met me out on a street corner a few blocks away from our apartment, but in a location that just allowed us to get right back on the highway, literally threw the wallet into the window, went back around, and I figured, you know what, if I'm not going to make it, then I'm at the airport. I wasn't necessarily worried about getting to Chicago by the time I had to present. I mean, there's a lot of flights, right? But it's just the trauma of missing a flight is really, I have never experienced that before, but somehow I got on that plane gasping for air 2 minutes before the flight. So, you know, really underscores the idea that travel is a physical activity, right? The act of traveling, and we need to have the best products for that journey. So I'm happy to be here talking to you about that today. So a little bit about me. I know some of you, but I'll be happy to meet with everybody else afterwards. So I am the industry analyst at the NPD Group, and I focus on a broad area, but I focus on footwear, and I also focus on accessories, which includes travel goods and luggage in our world. I have about 20 years experience, and I worked in retail prior to coming to the NPD Group. And I would love to, you can see some of that there. If we're not connected, would love to connect with you afterwards. The NPD Group, if you're not familiar, and I will preface this, that on Tuesday we will be unveiling a new company name, a new company logo, because last year we merged with IRI, which is an insights firm in the packaged goods area. So now we've got like
complete coverage of consumer spending, which is great. But our new branding comes out this week, so this show was just before that. But we are a market insights firm. We track many industries in many countries, both by surveying consumers, by working with retailers and getting that share their info with us, and then we work with our clients to help them make business decisions. So a little bit of stats there. So what we're going to do today, I love talking about the big picture, and that's important when we're talking about travel goods, because obviously travel goods depends on what the consumer is out there doing and whether they're traveling. And we all learned that, you know, that very quickly in the last few years. So I'm going to start big and talk about what's happening in a number of our industries that we track. And then I'll focus on the travel goods industry and what's impacting that. And then we'll look ahead and we'll talk about some of the other big consumer trends that are happening and how I think that's going to impact travel and travel goods. So we'll get going here. I'm going to show you a number of the industries that we track. And we've kind of put them into a little bit of a quadrant because we've seen there's been a lot of ups and downs. Obviously, the home industry, which is what is prominent here, is talking about how the business has really softened after really growing astronomically during the pandemic as everybody was outfitting their homes for, in-home dining and working and, and sprucing up the decor because they were sick of it and at home so much. So now they're seeing a little bit of a slowdown. But we've got other industries that are finally, starting to pick up, particularly in the fashion space and the accessories and travel goods. So we've look at them kind of in buckets. The industries that continue to grow, beauty is number one. Beauty is up in units, it's up in dollars. It was really tough during the pandemic, but it really picked up nicely, and that's being driven, of course, by the fact that people are going out again, but it's also kind of a small luxury, and also social media has been a really big driver of beauty trends. Tutorials on YouTube and TikTok and having the latest products and watching all those videos is really driving. Accessories, which in this context means bags, like handbags and other types of bags, luggage and small leather goods or small personal accessories like wallets and things like that, is growing, still remains below where it was in 2019. However, the luggage piece of it has been strong. So that has had a nice recovery, and obviously we're going to talk about that more. Areas that are kind of holding their own, apparel, toys, footwear. So these are industries that had a tough time during the pandemic, improved in 2021 and into 2022, so are maintaining the growth in 2022 that they saw in 2021 after that first pandemic year. Office supplies is an area that is continuing to improve. Reduced spend, so these are a lot of the industries, and you see small appliances there, and a couple of the other sports equipment and tech, which also were big pandemic categories, have slowed since their big pandemic peaks. And of course, you have to look at the context. If you compare these industries to their pre-pandemic volumes, they are still well above. But what's interesting, in 2022, all of these units, except for beauty, were down in units to 2021. So we are really seeing that demand. A lot of this dollar volume is being driven by the increasing prices. So whether it's MSRP increases or that reduced promotions that we had seen prior to second half of 2022. So, in dollars, these industries may be growing, but in units, the demand is a little bit soft. We're seeing this impact on brick and mortar in the big cities, right? So big cities finally has, in terms of retail, have improved, but still lagging behind other areas of the country where there was migration, maybe not as strict restrictions as big cities, and also the tourism piece of things. That really was a challenge to the big cities. Now we're starting to see that come back. Obviously, the working situation, we'll talk about that as well, is different, and some of these cities, are not full during that workday, and that was driving retail before. So there's definitely still some hurdles. In terms of the international tourism, which is a big piece of what goes on in the big cities, that is starting to return. I'll show you some data later that shows, I think it's from the U.S. Travel Association, that anticipates that international arrivals to the U.S. expected to get back to 2019 levels in 2025, but it's happening. There's still some challenges, right? There's still some vaccination requirements, I think, in the U.S. To entering the country. But, of course, we know that Chinese consumers have started to travel again. after their guidelines have been lifted. So we're looking at that as a driver moving forward. I like to keep track of the TSA counts, the passenger screening, and they've been putting out data since the pandemic started. So I compare that to pre-pandemic. And, it ebbs and flows. But it's interesting here, this is sort of fourth quarter into the first quarter of 2023. You had a peak there in October where the rolling seven-day average of passenger counts outpaced that of 2019. And that was really due to, it was pent-up demand, some international travel starting, some restrictions being lifted. So, and then that moved in, that was a higher peak than the holiday season. So holiday travel, you definitely some peaks. I think many people maybe wish they hadn't tried to travel over holiday after what happened with the airlines. But you had this huge peak, sort of a little bit after New Year's. So we're definitely starting to see, you see a little bit of an erratic pattern there as we headed into the first quarter of this year. And I think that's indicative of a trend of people's travel schedules have changed. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. Because they're more flexible in terms of work, that's allowing people to travel at different times, allowing them to work while traveling. So that's going to be an impact as well. Experiential spend. We have some credit card data that we look at. So spend in some of these areas throughout 2022 compared to 2019. Some have improved. The lodging has been strong really throughout. Second half of the pandemic, it was really driven by Airbnb and Vrbo, home rentals, because people were going on road trips and renting houses, and that's how they were getting away. That stayed strong, and hotels have come back. Cruise is an interesting one. That really was very tough for a very long time. Has improved, and you can see the second half of the year was actually ahead of 2019 levels, and the cruise lines are reporting that they have really strong bookings for 2023. A couple of other areas, so airlines, you saw overall a slowdown in December, and that is not surprising. Overall, retail did slow in December. Consumers really facing pressures from a macroeconomic standpoint. But one thing that I like to watch is this idea of, the sort of the ride sharing and the taxis and the mass transit, because that suggests there's travel in there, but there's also the everyday commuting, which is still below, and there's so much data that supports that. No matter how much everybody, you read about, oh, this company is making people go back to the office, this one's making people go back to the office now, the numbers are actually still staggering, and we'll talk about those later. Travel remains a really key marketing message, and this was through holiday, so We had done a pre-holiday survey where consumers told us that they were more likely than prior years to travel, to go to friends' houses, and brands and retailers really were trying to take advantage of this. So across categories, not just about travel goods, right? About, what are the outfits to take, sort of this ease of travel, and maybe you only need to take a few things, that capsule wardrobe, but also travel goods as well. And, the luggage business was good for holiday. It was one of our top performing categories. You can see this is the kind of the weekly flow of sales in our retail tracking universe for holiday. And this year, or 2022, was the purple line compared to, we can look at the green line for 2021. And you see a couple of things. So you see you've got a little bit of a peak in that October time frame because we had that second Prime Day of the year, and Prime Day does provide a nice boost to luggage typically. Then it sort of flattened out, and then you have that peak during Cyber Monday, not Black Friday week, Cyber Monday week, and that's a shift from pre-pandemic. So as we see more of the business move online, I thought that was interesting. And then across the board, December week four was by far the biggest week for holiday this year, and I really expected that despite all of the talk about the early promotions and holiday starts in October now, I knew it was going to come down to the last minute across industries because humans are last minute beings. And we had that extra week before the holiday. And we're going to have that again in 2023. So be on the lookout for that late push is important. Now, it's not the peak. It's interesting in some of the other categories we track that week four was the actual peak of sales. But luggage is not as much of a an impulse or a close to travel type activity. I'm going to show you some on that. So we saw in some other categories like more of the giftables did well, and maybe that was piece of the luggage business as well in that week four. But in that you know, Cyber Monday area, of course, there's a lot of promoting going on, but people were also expecting to travel more this holiday. So they're going to be buying their luggage ahead of that travel and not necessarily at the very, very last minute. Okay, so let's get into some trends. I also like to look at some trends from other industries to just indicate the importance of what's happening here in travel. We're seeing travel books start to grow again. I think units are still below 2019, but now for the second year in a row, they grew. But what's interesting is that the dynamics changed. 2021 was all about U.S. travel subjects, national parks and, you know, cities and things like that. And in 2022, the interest really moved towards European travel. So as more consumers looked to, you know, travel outside of the U.S. So that was, you know, important to note that the interest is shifting. Excuse me, sorry. Okay. Technology. Tech, you saw earlier on that slide, is one of the softer categories now. So we didn't see a lot of categories that grew in tech in 2022, but our analyst attributes that the sales of noise-canceling headphones can't be attributed all to travel, but that's one category that tends to do well when travel is doing better. And the item tracker sales. So that was particularly interesting. So that's primarily your Apple AirTags, and, you know, I read a lot about that over December where people had AirTags in their luggage, right? And they knew exactly where their luggage was, but they couldn't get it because the airlines were, you know, holding it hostage. So that's an interesting idea, and, you know, maybe something that is interesting. So I did see on the floor that there is that Return Me brand where with the tags, and, you know, that's an actual return service. So a little bit different, but I think this is an interesting idea as we talk about, you know, innovation in the luggage space as well. And then in the sports and outdoor category, we've seen camping continue to do well, but it's really shifted towards like more of the accessories, right? Like it was last year that everybody bought their tents and the big products and the, you know, the grills and all that, and now it's more about the accessory kinds of things. So that also has a tie into luggage, because as we see purchasing of luggage continue to grow, we also know that luggage is not a very high purchase frequency category, so we need to be making sure that we're selling peripheral products and, you know, accessories to our accessories to keep our consumers engaged and purchasing. So here's the U.S. travel accessories market, and I've created we can look at this a lot of different ways, but I've merged here suitcases and luggage sets and toiletry cases and garment bags, which we consider to be the luggage categories, with some of the bag categories like backpacks, duffels, fanny packs, all, of course, you can't attribute sales of all of that to travel, but they're obviously important travel products. And we've really seen nice recovery here. So the dollars recovered in 2021, units didn't, but this year we've got units back up to 2019 as well. And, you know, it's going to vary by category. Backpacks is a big piece of that, but this is, you know, definitely very positive. And when we break down our accessories business, I mean, the travel categories are right there in terms of the top growth categories in accessories. The handbag business is still having a tough time. That business has changed. The priorities have shifted. Function is more important. So merely, you know, fashion isn't necessarily the biggest driver anymore. I've seen some interesting product out on the floor yesterday and today as well in that space. So, but this is very, you know, very strong results from the luggage categories. But I mentioned the purchase frequency, and this is from a survey we did last summer about, you know, it's hard to get to an average, a consumer buys a new piece of luggage every X years, because you have to ask about ranges. So, you know, about a third say that they very rarely or never buy luggage. Then you've got about 40% or so, 38% that say they buy it every 1 to 5 years, and you've got a similar amount that say you know, every 3 to 10 years. So that's definitely a challenge that the industry faces in terms of, you know, that purchase frequency. On a positive note, you've got younger consumers saying that they're purchasing a little bit more frequently. So maybe some of the innovation, the newness, the color, the excitement, you know, really pulls them in to buying more products there. And purchase occasion, I thought this was interesting. Like, when did you, this was really asking kind of like, tell us about the time where you purchased your last piece of luggage. And the highest frequency is before booking a trip. And then right after that is shortly after booking a trip. So it's really they're thinking about the luggage around when they're thinking about booking the trip. So like I mentioned earlier, it's not necessarily that impulse last minute purchase. In 2021, when, you know, everything kind of looked great getting into holiday and we thought that we were going to have our first holiday back, and then Omicron hit, luggage sales actually didn't really take a hit in that point, because that would, most of that business had already been done by mid-December when that happened. But if we look at the swimwear sales, they dropped off because all of a sudden nobody's going on their trips, and so they don't need to go buy that last-minute swimsuit that they might have bought. So just important to think about. During a major sale and promotion, so that's where something like Prime Day, that's a more stronger purchase driver for women, probably makes sense, a little bit for 45-plus versus younger consumers. So you have different influences, but most of it is around when booking the trip and then maybe a few weeks before. It's certainly not a last-minute purchase. We saw a shift this year in the share of sales being driven by different types of luggage pieces. So last year, it was the non-carry-on that really outperformed, as we saw leisure travel pick up quicker than business travel. And we saw that it was sort of neck and neck this year in the first half, but then we actually saw that carry-on start to pick up some share in the second half. But what's interesting is what happened to luggage sets. It was a really big driver of what went on this holiday, really drove most of that growth, and it was really at value pricing. The promotions really picked up in this space. So the consumers definitely tuned into that value. So you now have luggage set prices, average prices, lower than a single non-carry-on size bag. And of course, there's going to be some about the brands that are playing in these spaces. You've got brands maybe that are playing in the luggage set space that have lower average prices, selling in, lower tier price tier retailers. But I just thought this was very interesting because obviously the big value, why not buy a set when if it's going to cost you less or the same as one suitcase? But the promotions really ratcheted up. And this is something that we're watching overall because we saw MSRPs increase throughout the pandemic and the year after because promotions demand was up, supply was down, so retailers and brands didn't need to promote. This year, promotions came back strong as inventory picked back up and, we're riding this roller coaster of supply chain and trying to balance that out. And so we really saw that the promotions really drove that business in the fourth quarter. What are the features? This was a question we asked consumers also last summer with that other research. What you would expect, not very different for men versus women. Women seem to care more about the features maybe than men, so that the same features kind of rank at the top, but you've got more women saying that they're important than men saying that they're important. Men came up a little bit higher on that multiple ways to carry, so the backpack potentially, you can roll it, wear it on your back, carry it. And women came up a little bit higher on the pockets and the function, so I think that's interesting. But another one that I wanted to point out was the low percentage of respondents that talked about device charging. So we put that out there as an option. And, to me, I think this is an interesting one because this is something that kind of drove all of a sudden that interest in luggage a few years ago when you had some startups putting that in there into their products. But that particular piece of it was more of like a solution, in search of a problem. People have backup chargers already. So it isn't the most important, and it's really become, really pretty much a non-issue in that space at this point. Here are some brands, and I just want to preface that this won't include these brands' direct-to-consumer sales. This is our retail tracking universe, which includes major retailers. So these are the top five brands here, and you can see kind of just the direction, share gain or loss over the last year. And I'll talk about a few more that are also, growing, but maybe not in the top 10. So we do continue to see, Samsonite is number one, followed by, a few of the other major players here. In terms of where they're being sold or the top channels, and I don't think this is going to surprise everyone, and most of these channels are being driven by a single major, one or two major retailers. So, of course, you've got mass in terms of, Walmart and Target, and then you've got the online pure play. Obviously, Amazon drives a lot of that. Department stores, Macy's a big piece of that. And then what was different and we hadn't seen before, but I'm hearing a lot of on the floor there is just, how important the off-price players have become in this space. And we definitely see the share gain here. And these brands together have gained a little bit of share kind of as a group, and we have seen a little bit of a slowdown in the private label piece and other little limited distribution. So some of these big players taking a little bit more share. Here's a few others that are growing, not in the top 10, but in terms of volume, but that are growing. If you have a brand, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we don't see the brand growing. It just didn't make the top list here. But also we're paying attention, and we've got some other data sources where we track some of the more digital native brands. And we don't have a lot of detail there, but we can see, you know, our clients are also very interested in what is Away doing. You know, I think Away really was probably credited for kind of driving that initial new interest in luggage a few years ago, Away and a few others that maybe didn't necessarily stay in the market. But that has had a halo effect on the entire market, and many have benefited from that. Luggage was a sleepy category for a long time. And all of a sudden, a few years prior to the pandemic, it really started to pick up across the board. A lot of interest, really, as social media usage and experience and travel and everybody posting about their vacations and then realizing how important function is to that, you know, that activity of travel. So really, a lot of these brands have enjoyed some success there. And then you've got, you know, brands that are a little bit more in the bag space than the luggage space as well. I mentioned private label, so I wanted to take a look at, you know, the impact of private label here. It's very small in the suitcase and luggage space. Of course, we know Target's got some programs there. Walmart has some product there. But when you're talking about, you know, strict luggage, suitcases and luggage sets, very small. Growing a little bit, but still a very small share. But it's really about those bag products, so the backpacks, the duffel bags, and the, you know, the fanny or waist or chest packs or belt bags or whatever we're calling them. So, you know, it's important to know, just, you know, pay attention to what's happening there. Retailers trying to, you know, maybe potentially take a little bit more in-house. Maybe that's an opportunity for brands that potentially partner with retailers. But it's really the suitcase and the luggage sets really continue to be dominated by, you know, the big brands. And of course, we're tracking across the industries what's going on with the online business, right? Huge spike during the pandemic. Of course, you know, for a category like this, sales trended down, but the sales that were being done were more likely to be done online, just given the nature of what was going on. And that's since come down as stores have returned to growth, but it hasn't come quite all the way down to pre-pandemic, so it's up a couple of points versus the pre-pandemic level, so about 38% of sales being generated online. And you see growth coming from both places. So online is outperforming store when you compare to pre-pandemic. When you just compare to last year, store growth is a little stronger. I'm not surprised at that, but what this does show is that the recovery in this category is coming from both places. It's not that all of a sudden everybody's running back into stores and buying it there. And I do think, I mean, of course, there is pros and cons to both. You know, when you kind of know what you like, I think the online business and the ability to tell the story and all of the, explain all the features and benefits of product lends itself well to the online platform. So that's a benefit that many have enjoyed. All right, so let's take a look at just what I think maybe is coming down the pike a little bit. You know, I'm going to use a couple of travel puns here. I like to do that kind of thing. But we've got headwinds and tailwinds to the travel industry and to the travel goods industry. So we need people to be traveling, obviously, in this space to be successful. And, of course, inflation is definitely a continued headwind. I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's still challenges, it seems, operational. In terms of airlines and labor and things, it seems to be leveling out and getting a bit better. So it, you know, that just may have, you know, have some consumers thinking, oh, I don't want to fly anywhere. I'd rather, you know, do something else. I think the business travel piece is both a headwind and a tailwind because it's recovering. It's just recovering slower and not likely to get back to where it was. So I think that's ultimately going to be a headwind. And then a headwind, another one that's kind of on both sides, is that leisure travel came back strong. So there's still some headroom there, but that growth is going to be slowing. So, you know, the growth rates of products that support that is going to be slowing. And on the positive side, those tailwinds are, you know, and this can also go both ways depending on what we're thinking about it, but for U.S. consumers maybe looking to travel overseas, the strong dollar is a benefit at this point. There's less concern about COVID. There's fewer restrictions and guidelines, so the world, you know, has opened back up for the most part. There's all this pent-up demand. There is some return to that business travel. The remote work piece of it is really interesting, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then, you know, other areas that have put pressures on consumers are starting to ease, right? So that's a benefit, one, in just terms of overall freeing up some wallet, but also in terms of, for, you know, talk about road trips. So, you know, potentially, which is also an important piece of travel and something we should think about in products as well. This is from the U.S. Travel Association, sort of the expectations of recovery. I haven't seen an update to look at the actuals for 2022, but it was expected that leisure, you know, person trips is kind of the metric they use, was expected to surpass 2019 in 2022. So we'll look for that update to see if that actually happened. The business travel expected to recover in 2024. This I find a little bit optimistic. And you know, many of you might agree with that. So we'll definitely have to watch that. But what you can see is, of course, we had this spike in recovery in the 2021 and into 2022 area. But then from there on out, you see some continued growth, but it's just those growth rates are going to slow. And here's, you know, just a little bit of evidence about the business travel. There's a lot going on here, so I'll cull it down. But this was a UBS study where they surveyed executives about the return to business travel, and you know, over half of them believe that at least 20% of business travel in the U.S. will be replaced by video conferencing, and only a very small percent expect a full return to business travel. So, like as I mentioned to you, you know, this is only my second trip, you know, since COVID, and I was traveling a lot, and because we're just doing so much virtually. But consumers were asking them about their travel plans. About one third said that they plan to travel for leisure more in 2023 than they did in 2022, so that's a positive. And then 30% say they plan to travel about the same, so they're keeping up that level. A smaller percentage plan to travel for business more than they did in 2022, but it's a little bit higher for the sort of that older millennial age group. So you've got people with travel plans, absolutely. And people, you know, they buy for travel, right? And, you know, you can see luggage and bags and accessories is a little bit further down the list, but that's not surprising because you're not buying that for every trip you go on. Whereas, you know, apparel and footwear in the casual space in particular are important. And that's been, you know, you saw some of that marketing that I showed you earlier on. Brands and retailers are really going after that. Here's what you need for a good trip. Here's what you need to be comfortable. Here are the five things you need to bring on that trip, and you can, you know, wear them. They're versatile. Here's the one pair of shoes you need for your travel. So definitely creating some marketing messages. And I think there's really opportunity for cross-merchandising, which we don't see a lot of. You know, you think about a major department store or a retailer, everything is still very siloed, and oftentimes the luggage is kind of tucked away. But maybe, you know, bringing it forward and cross-merchandising with other travel products to really tell that story to the consumer. Remote work. We've got almost 30% of workers told us that they're working at home more days, even if they're back in the office. When you think about it on a daily basis, they're working at home more than they did pre-pandemic. And that skews higher for higher incomes, which is not surprising. You've got more of a professional office worker type of a trend. And there's a lot here, but right at the beginning there, this 3-4-20, up there at 100%, that's office occupancy across 10 major metro areas pre-pandemic. So that's your baseline of 100%. And, you know, it's ebbed and flowed a bit, but you see in the red, the top 10 average now is just about 50%. And a couple of weeks ago when this metric that's done by Castle Systems, which is like your office security swipe cards, it was sort of a big headline. Office occupancy, average office occupancy, you know, returns to 50% for the first time since a pandemic. Well, you know, think about that. That is still a long way to go, and we're likely not going to get back up to where we were. And you've got some metro areas that are still below that mark as well, like New York, D.C., you know, San Francisco and San Jose in the tech, you know, space. And, of course, you're seeing layoffs in that space now. So this is still a major trend that's impacting consumers' lives. And you know, we need to take that into account. But that's also driving this trend of blended travel, and that's getting a lot of attention. A lot of the airline CEOs and the hotel chain CEOs, you know, and other analysts are really talking about this idea of blended travel or bleisure. So, you know, and I love that quote from the United Airlines CEO, that every weekend now can be a long weekend for many because you can work in. And hotels are incorporating that into their room design, into facilities design. So we need to think about how that impacts travel, right? And what are the products that, you know, you got to carry all your work stuff, but you're, then you have your leisure as well. So how can we make that easier for consumers? So, you know, just a couple of big takeaways. And I say, you know, last year I think my headline was something like, you know, poised for takeoff. But now I think we're starting to hit that cruising altitude a little bit as we have had a nice recovery in this industry. I do think there's still runway, but we are expecting that travel accessories growth to slow. Not to decline this year, but the growth rates to start to slow. So we've got to think about how we keep up, you know, this growth for the long term. You know, the function and the innovation, and I'm seeing a lot of it out on the floor, absolutely the keys to propelling demand. What else do consumers need? What's the new technology? I mean, you can see it both in the travel section and what's happening in the home. All these new ideas and new products make lives easier and better and more convenient. Consumers have new lifestyles. That includes maybe new travel cadences where they're traveling at times where they didn't used to. New behaviors, new priorities of what's important to them. So we really need to, you know, really meet them where they're at. And then that's that idea of storytelling that's relevant, right? I think some brands still, you know, focus on that, like, oh, that jet set image. But that's not really what consumers are focused on. I mean, it's got to be relatable, like my travel story yesterday. Like, that's reality. Like, I was running through the airport and couldn't breathe. So, you know, it's not that glamorous world that maybe it once used to be. But, you know, so it's really about also focusing on the experience and not just those individual products, because the peripheral products are what is going to help us drive the business forward and really maintain that demand until it is time for that new big purchase of the, you know, the bigger gear. So what works together to tell the story and make that travel experience. And of course, you know, I always like to end with like one of these gifs. I always find these funny travel gifs. So we will, you know, we're going to continue pushing forward and, you know, trying to get our, you know, oversized suitcase on the plane if they let us. But, you know, so I wish everybody a successful year and, you know, good luck in innovation and in business. And please, we've got about, you know, 9 minutes or so for questions. I'm happy to stick around. And we've got Dan here from our team, you know, that is also available for questions. And feel free to reach out.
And so, does anyone have any questions? No? Good. I like to ask the first question anyway. Mm-hmm. What I'm curious about is, okay, we're not living in the day of the steamer trunk, but there are some fundamentals in luggage that have been around for a long time. And they're tweaked. They have wheels on them now, that kind of thing. And we know more people are going to get on a plane with a duffel bag. There are some changes. Has COVID and the period after created a situation where there are going to be real fundamental changes in luggage and accessories, or is this kind of, there's going to be a basis and then kind of the accessories and some of the specialty kinds of things, and we touched on, you know, power and recharging, that's what's going to drive the industry?
Yeah, I think it's more of those subtle. I mean, it's not necessarily going to overhaul and disrupt the industry. I mean, we've seen plenty of disruptors over the last few years, both in terms of the product and in terms of how it's sold, right? So I think from here, for the next few years, it's really more about those tweaks and what is that next thing that is going to help the consumer get somewhere easier, or, you know, enjoy their trip more, or, you know, travel with their family in an easier way. So I think we've seen innovation in terms of, you know, materials, in terms of features, obviously sustainability. We didn't really cover it today, but that's obviously one aspect of the function and the innovation, as younger consumers are really finding that to be more important and really placing more more emphasis on buying from brands and retailers that are supporting causes. And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, it's got to be made with recycled products. They also want to know what's behind the brand. What is me purchasing this item going to help? So I think there's lots of, you know, there's a few different avenues there, but we've got to just continue incremental innovation to keep up that interest.
It's kind of there's a second part to this. So we've heard a lot in this theater about the role of social media. about the role of retailtainment online,
yes,
about people wanting to show off their luggage on Instagram. In terms of selling, and particularly telling stories and reaching communities,
yep,
does this or could this represent a fundamental change in how marketing has to be approached, particularly because even the major brands in luggage don't really, they don't advertise like they used to. There's no gorilla smashing the Samsonite luggage around. It's a little bit less of a familiar industry now, I think.
Yeah, that's a great point. So social media has become extremely important across a number of industries. I mentioned beauty. You know, we see it in footwear where there are, you know, lots of big items over the holiday season really driven by user-generated content on YouTube, TikTok, and I think luggage is no exception. You know, maybe it's a little bit further, you know, behind the curve a little bit in that space, but those, you know, unboxing type of videos where people are showing, you know, everything that fits into the luggage or, you know, how I can set it up in the hotel to make things easier. Look at all of these features. I mean, it's gold. It's marketing gold because, you know, while you can do some of that on your website, it's you first you've got to get the, you know, the consumer there, and it's almost impossible to do in the wholesale environment. And I think that's where, you know, the importance of that is coming in to really tell the story. So yeah, I think that's a big piece of the equation.
And even the TikTok who shows the product that helps them get on the plane and get comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, that seems to be another opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions?
Appreciate your comments and especially some of your distinctions as far as male-female viewpoints and kind of going on this trend idea. We also see, at least in an independent retailer, the differences in the ages and what we're trying to reach. Do you have any comments as far as trends that you saw in 2022 or early 2023 as far as insights of those distinctions along the age brackets?
Age brackets in terms of travel goods?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing that over across the board, it's like there is a little bit of a dichotomy. We're seeing kind of that 55 plus, so I mean, you know, the boomer consumer actually driving a lot of the business. Sometimes that's an area where people tend to really want to focus on the younger consumer, but we're actually seeing some strength. You know, there's disposable income there. There's, you know, sort of getting back, being more active, getting out and travel. But we do see, you know, in luggage, really the growth has been definitely across the board because it's been such a strong recovery that really, but I think it's sort of like the older and the younger kind of at the same time. So you've got that younger generation coming up and going on to different types of trips, like the weekend trips and all of that. And then you've got the older consumer as well.
Any other questions? Well, in that case, thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
And thank everybody for coming. We appreciate your presence and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you very much.